mi amiga.
Hey.
All right, we are. We have an audience tonight.
We are doing so well already.
We were doing so well. How are you? I know that it's been a rough week, and so checking in, mental health check.
You know, it's just this day just keeps getting better. So I'm not. I don't know.
You know what? Hey, we should announce who we are.
Maybe. Oh yeah, I guess so. I figured by the technical difficulties, everyone would know who we were.
Welcome everybody to another week of Case Files with Kat
and Ashley.
And now, hola amiga. I'm in Spanish mode tonight, so feeling Mexican. I am a Mexican, not a Mexicant. So tell me how the week has been since we last spoke.
It's been really long. I finally had movers come and get my stuff out. I've been working on the house every day and trying to work. And well, today my laptop crashed. So that's fun. But that's it. That's it for me. I don't know.
So
I don't
just have a lot of winning.
I had to move on Friday to a different place. So, I don't know. I'm just glad it's Wednesday and we're doing a story. One way or another, we're doing the damn story.
And so right now she's not actually on her computer, which would be the normal situation. She's just on her phone. And so let's just hope nothing in the cosmos is out to get you and your phone dies, or is it plugged in? Do we need like battery power?
One of the contractors that was working, he's like, man, you are so calm about all of this. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, my wife would be panicking if this was happening. I'm like, listen, man, this is just like an everyday thing in my life. It's just bad luck every day. Okay. So this is nothing new to me.
You know what? After all of my research, maybe you need to send an I'm sorry letter to like Robert the Doll for doing that story about him that one time.
I don't know what it is. I've been jinxed since I was little. I probably broke too many mirrors Probably. I don't know. I lived in the country, so for all I know, it was a Indian burial ground. Like, I don't know.
Oh, good God. Good God.
Who knows how many of the things that my grandparents gave me are creepy and crazy and possessed by different things. I don't know.
That's true. That Charlie Chaplin doll. So I know you don't have a beer, but what do you have?
I am drinking one of my favorite things. It's a Starbucks. I don't know if you can see it. I don't know where this came in. It's a Starbucks double shot espresso. It's espresso and salted caramel cream. It's so delicious. And now that I have a 45-minute drive home instead of a 15-minute drive home after the show. I love these. I drink them a lot. Actually, I'll prefer them to like Red Bull and stuff. They're very, very
good. Like,
if you like coffee or you like Starbucks, it's really good. Like, it's a really good alternative to Red Bull for me anyways.
Well, we're getting started a little late tonight because of technical. No. So I just want everyone to know my husband was joining me while I was waiting, and we decided to start the beers. So I'm trying something new from Real Ale Brewing Company. I haven't seen this one before, but it's called Boombox Double IPA, 8.1%. And I love, it's a little hops. Got with two boom boxes on each shoulder, or whatever what would be on a hops.
Yeah, it's cool.
He's got little high top Converse on. I love that.
Yeah.
And then the other one made me laugh, and so I got it. It is from El Segundo Brewing Company from El Segundo, California. It's the Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA.
That's cool. IPAs always have the coolest can art.
I know. And so this is For Broken Skull India Pale Ale, a badass 6.7% IPA designed by Steve Austin and El Segundo Brewing Company for the working man and woman, except it was like $12 for the six pack, and I don't think that's really for the working man and woman. It features Citra, Cascade, and Chinook hops to deliver big flavor with an easy finish. Now stop reading and start enjoying this awesome beer. Cheers. That was funny. Anyway, so that's what I'm drinking tonight.
Oh, my phone is falling. Just ignore me. My little thing that was like, coming.
I was like, what is that? What is that?
I don't know what the sound was. I have no idea what that sound was, but my phone was falling.
Oh, weird. Is it, do you have Google up or something?
No, that was from my laptop. I just don't know what it's doing.
Oh, great. That's awesome. Okay.
All right. My phone will probably fall off and hit me in the face any second. So, you know, it's cool. Just keep going with your story.
I'm just going to keep going. So I have a really fun story for you guys, but I want to start off by saying a couple of things. I have a couple of pieces of business, and I'm used to running meetings now where I have a couple of pieces of business. First, I want to say that, holy shit, Ron, we have a listener in every continent but Antarctica. I just want to say that. Oh my God. I think that's amazing. I think like, hey, brava for us. Yeah. But we have in South America, North America, Africa, Europe, Asia, even in Oceania. I love that. And so thank you everybody from around the world. I just love that. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're interested in knowing how many people are in your country, give us a shout out. We'd love to tell you. Because really, New Zealand, 17 people are listening to us in New Zealand. Thank you. Thank you so very much. I love it. I love it. It's just that just made me so, so happy. But seriously, we're both just super thankful that you all join us every week and listen to our shenanigans and our technical difficulties. And you
one
laugh.
Day we'll have it together. Maybe season 5, maybe season 6, season 30, probably. Who knows?
But listen, this is why people like us, I guess, because of our shenanigans. And you know what? You laugh alongside of us because we try to laugh. You know,
I think that we just make people feel so much better about their own lives. They just keep tuning in week to week. So also real quick,
yeah,
I know you have the question of the week and all that stuff and more business, but I just really, really wanted to say happy birthday to Sarah.
That She's was next.
Oh, I'm a psychic. I'm a psychic.
That's my next piece of business.
Tracker. She is a good friend of ours, an unofficial co-host. But yeah, today's her birthday.
Well, she is the Sarah that you all know and love. And how was her lunch today?
Oh my God. Everyone showered her with gifts and all this stuff, you know, just good time. She had a good time.
Well,
I bought myself a nothing but cake in her honor. and I did in my her birthday went really well for me. Also, just for the record, my laptop finally just came back up halfway into our show. Well,
okay,
halfway
hold on. 9 minutes. So go ahead and log on. I can have you both on there. So it's okay if you want to.
Yeah,
however,
both, like two of me.
Yeah, you can.
I'll let you know when that starts working, just in case it does. Rolling with the show. Love you guys. Sorry for interrupting Kat's list of business. Continue on.
All right, Sarah. Well, I love you. I didn't get to celebrate with you, but I certainly miss you. So happy birthday from us and all of our fans. Am I right? All right. I will not sing this time. I might
they
later.
They sang to her at the restaurant, and I think it embarrassed her because like we were in the outdoor area.
It was all
and
really
everyone
loud.
Else that was there eating like turned to look. But it was good. Her husband showed up and, you know, everyone celebrated and just, it was a good time. It was nice to see people smiling and happy and, you know, get out of my little hole. And, it was good.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad.
We loved all of our stuff. I think she said she did. She could be lying. I don't know.
It was the thought that counts. So, all right, let's start with our question of the week. Okay, Ashley.
Yes, I'm ready.
Would you rather know the date of your death or know the cause of your death?
Okay. So, contrary to what I think a lot of people say, I would want to know the cause of my death.
What?
Because I think if I knew the date, I would, where a lot of people are like, oh, I would want to know the date because I would live my life to the fullest or whatever. I don't think that would happen for me. I would be so paranoid and so sad knowing that that date was coming up. Like, I would just be consumed by knowing the date. And so, like, I would not be living my life. If I knew the cause, I think I would still just be able to, I would be okay. As long as I knew it wasn't like some crazy painful way that I was gonna die. Like, I don't know. Like, I would rather know how I was gonna die. I wouldn't want to know the date. I just wouldn't want to know the date. I feel like it's,
But
I
what if it
don't know.
was something like driving?
I mean, you know, I've already tested my fate with that when I was in that car accident. Didn't die. So maybe it's like a
You
Final Destination situation. Life is going to keep trying to kill me until it happens. So I would still rather know the cause. I
Okay.
don't know.
All
It's
right.
tough. It's tough. I just feel like if I knew the date, I would just be so consumed by that number that I wouldn't be able to enjoy anything.
And I
I
think
know that's weird. I know it's
I no,
different.
it's I it's different, but I certainly would want to know. I would want to know the date, because if it's a week from now, then I'm going to get all my affairs in order. If it's a year from now, I'm going to have a little bit of fun. If it's like 60 years from now, oh well, then I'm just going to live life like
See, my fear is
normally
like
would.
someone would tell me the date, right? And then I would do all this crazy shit and spend all this money, and then the date would come, and lo and behold, I didn't fucking die, and now I've got a quadrillion amount of debt, and all these people mad at me. Like, that's my kind of luck,
Because
right?
you would
Like,
walk
based
around
on everything
going,
that's
fuck
happened in this
you,
last
fuck
month.
you, fuck you,
Yeah.
you're cool, fuck you.
So this last month has proven to me that I shouldn't bet on luck, right? So I would definitely, I would need to
Okay.
know the cause.
All right. Well, all right. All right. Well, I'm just gonna get on with my show. I hope that there are some answers to the question of the week. So if you didn't answer this week, please go back and answer. What we still read them and we still laugh. So please do that. Okay. So in past episodes, I'm just gonna get started. Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah, just
We got a lot. We got a lot. So we've mentioned in past episodes several dolls, with Ashley focusing a bit on Robert the doll. But I am going to start tonight's story with some of the most haunted dolls in America. Some you may know, I mean, some you may know. Others might be new. So we're gonna start with that. So first, we're gonna start with Elmo.
like Sesame Street Elmo.
Like Elmo. Yes, sweet little Elmo. Well, this particular talking Elmo doll was purchased in 2008 for the Bowman's son James, who had just turned two. The talking Elmos had the this particular talking Elmos had the ability to be programmed to say their owner's name. In this case, it was James. But when the batteries ran out and Mrs. Bowman changed the batteries, little Elmo decided to start ad-libbing, and hidden his signature little sing-songy voice, he started saying, "Kill James."
Oh my God, no.
Then James started re to repeat the phrase. So I am going to let you listen to this.
The Elmo Knows Your Name doll recently ran out of batteries. His mother, Melissa, put new ones in.
Kill James.
What was that?
Kill James.
This Elmo doll connects to a computer to learn certain phrases and the child's name.
Hell no. Hell no.
So Jason was like, what did it say? Kill James. Kill James? So this little 2-year-old started running around his ha poor house saying, kill
No.
James? So there you go. That is Elmo, because what
My child would not
Elmo
have
do?
any more toys after that. I'm just telling you right now.
So she actually called Fisher-Price. There's a whole end to the story. She called Fisher-Price that kind of gave her the runaround. And then they, after the airing of that segment, called that station to kind of fix things up a little bit. Okay. So the number two, Mandy. Mandy does not play well with others. She is in the Quesnel Museum in Canada. Not sure if I totally butchered that name. Where she now lives, and staff say they have to keep her away from all the other dolls because she, wherever she is displayed, if she was near another doll, and this is like porcelain dolls and antique dolls, and she would knock them over and they would break. Oh, and staff also report that their lunches disappear and that visitors' cameras often fail when taking pictures of the doll. Mandy is porcelain, probably manufactured in Europe around 1910. The woman who donated her reportedly told the museum she was getting rid of the doll because it would cry at night.
Nope.
The doll's eyes are also said to follow visitors as they walk by. And that is a whole lot of nope. Okiku.
I'm out.
Number three is Okiku. Okiku, according to modern Japanese folklore, in 1918, a teenager named Akichi Suzuki purchased a doll from Hokkaido for his younger sister, Okiku, who gave the doll her name. I'm butchering all of that. When Okiku died, her family came to believe that Okiku's spirit was inhabiting the doll, and the hair on the doll was growing.
No, ma'am.
The doll resides in a temple in Hokkaido where it is claimed that the priest regularly trims Okiku's still growing hair. Her hair.
No, I'm leaving this show right now.
Burn it down. So the doll had like a bob. Her hair is 10 inches long. They did a test on it, and it is human hair.
No thanks. Nope.
I don't know how that happens.
Why did they burn the doll?
Burn
Why
it
is
down.
That doll still in existence?
Why is that city still in existence?
You have a doll that's growing human hair. Someone's job is to cut that doll's hair. And you haven't burnt it's down
in,
the city.
It's in a shrine. You. It's in a shrine.
I don't care where it is. That whole city needs to go.
The whole country. Just burn it down. All right. Okay. So Letta hails to us from Australia. Australia. I can't. Nope. Sorry.
All the worst things come from Australia. Why?
Oh, no, I wanted to move there so badly. Okay, so Carrie Walton of Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, has appeared on a number of television programs with a doll he claims to have found while visiting an abandoned building in 1972 in Wagga Wagga, Australia. According to Walton, he named the doll Letta Me Out because of its supposedly supernatural characteristics. Carrie claims that people have seen the doll move in front of them and that the doll has left visible scuff marks around the house. Currently, Letta Me Out is owned by Carrie, who can't seem to get rid of her, even though he has tried. He was on a TV show saying he is physically unable to pick up the box and remove it from his car when he has tried to sell the doll.
Get rid of the whole damn car. What does he mean? I don't understand these people. I can't get this doll out of my car, so I'm just going to drive around with
just
it forever.
Just that feeling of like, I cannot part with this doll. Letta Me Out. Letta Me Out. Okay. There are so many more, Avi. There are so many more, but I'll end on Harold. Harold, I will go more into in my following story. So I'm not going to give away too much.
Oh my God, this isn't even your story yet?
No.
Jesus, my heart is already, this is too much. I thought this was already part of your story.
I'm just going to tell you for now.
I don't want to hear any more complaints about my stories in the future.
Okay, so next story, Harold. So just for now, know that Harold might be the first haunted doll actually sold on eBay. The owner says on the website, Robert, this is in quotes, Robert is cursed. Annabelle is possessed. Harold belongs to the devil himself. So that's nice. So, but I mentioned his name because he is a part of my story. So pay attention.
Okay. I am not wanting to pay attention, unfortunately, but I am.
All right. So obviously my story tonight is a whole lot of nope. Nope. Lots of nope. I want everyone to just go ahead and say nope right now. All right. I will do my best not to freak myself out because doing all of this was hard. I'm not going to make any promises. I might have to get up, excuse myself for a little bit. Okay, so yes, I'm talking about dolls tonight. And there's a fascination, I think, that we as a society have had with the idea of haunted dolls. From Chucky to the Conjuring Annabelle movies to TV shows like The Simpsons, even focusing on scary dolls. For some, dolls are wonderful, beautiful, precious things to be collected, even given an entire room of one's house to display. Some people have spent thousands of dollars on eBay to snag one of some haunted doll of their very own in hopes of having something scary happen to them. Why? I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know why you'd want that kind of juju, but don't know. There's an article in the New Yorker I was reading. It's called On eBay, A Fantastical Earnest World of Haunted Dolls. It's by Catherine Carlson. So she explains, she went down the rabbit hole of haunted doll listings on eBay, and she says, quote, when dealing with a corporate behemoth like eBay, though, complications arise. The site prohibits the sale of, quote, intangible items or things that buyers can't confirm that they've received. Even more explicit, it says, listings that offer someone's soul or a container that claims to have someone's soul are not allowed on the website.
What are people doing buying listings of someone else's soul? That's how you get haunted. I don't understand.
So to comply, most sellers include a disclaimer that metaphysical activity is not guaranteed. The grudging legal, this is all still from Catherine Carlson, the grudging legalistic language when accompanied by a lengthy story recounting ghostly activity only seems to reinforce the seller's veracity. Many of them put "for entertainment purposes only" in scare quotes, suggesting friendly collusion with the buyer. Look, I have to say this doll's not haunted, the seller seems to wink, but between you and me, it's totally haunted. So if you're in the market or just want to go down that particular rabbit hole, by all means, have at it. It's eBay. There's a lot. And right now, like Jason and I went down a rabbit hole for like 10 seconds, and it's like, people are kind of trying too hard. They paint the doll with like horns and they make it look all goth and scary when it's like, that's not what makes the doll scary. It's the just a doll, you know?
I think I sent you the pictures when I went to one of the flea markets and they had these dolls that had like, they had like made it into like cracked faces and like blood on it. And it was like blacked out eyes. And it's like the scariest looking doll I've ever seen. It was like in the corner of the flea market in its own little.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that doll is 1,000% haunted. Who is going to buy that doll? Like 100% it was haunted. There's no way. It was the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. I don't like dolls. I don't really like dolls. Okay. So tonight I'm actually not going to talk about a single doll. I'm not talking about just one doll. I'm talking about a lot of dolls and dolls that cannot be purchased. Specifically, I am here to tell you about the Island of the Dolls, or Isla de las Muñecas in Xochimilco, Mexico. That's right. I said it.
I'll just take your word for it.
Say what?
I'll just take your word on that's how it's said.
That is how it's said. All right. So because, y'all, I have actually been to Xochimilco, and my dumb 20-year-old self did not know this place existed, so I missed it. But, like, in all honesty, would I have gone there? Like, Now, I don't know. I kind of feel like I would, but I don't know. Maybe not at night, but like during the day, sure, because it's kind of creepy. I don't know. But Xochi Milco as a whole is a really interesting place. So a little bit about it, since I think it is a pretty cool place to visit, should you ever be in Mexico City. So Xochi Milco is characterized, it's just outside of Mexico City. It's characterized by a system of canals, which measure about, so in miles, it's about a mile, 105 miles. In kilometers, about 170 kilometers of these canals. And these canals are a small, it used to be part of a lake. So, okay, so these canals have these little boats. Well, they're not small, but they're really hard to explain. They're just these beautiful boats. They're wooden, they float, they're brightly colored and colorful. And they float along them for tourists. And it's actually kind of a pretty popular place. And along the canals are these artificially created islands called chinampas. And these are internationally famous because you just are floating around on these boats, and you're seeing these chinampas, and people live there. There's like a little tiny restaurant, and there's all these kinds of things happening going on. And you can just take a boat ride. That's all you have to do. It's kind of cool. But it is very popular with the residents of Mexico City, especially on Sundays, because it's kind of, you know, nice outside and you're going. And what the boats actually look like, if you're like on it, it looks like a really long picnic table. And there's chairs, just like these nice little Mexican chairs like you would have at any Mexican restaurant, right? You know, wicker in the middle kind of thing, all wooden. Everything's brightly painted. And so you just, it's like a party boat. So you have one long table down the middle and then chairs on either side. And sometimes there's like a mariachi band that plays on one end. Like even Frida Kahlo has a picture of herself on them. And like people have gotten married on them. You can have a party, and they're really easy to decorate with like flowers and things like that. So it's like beautiful. It's meant for a picture. You know, it's really beautiful. So these canals are all of what is left of what used to be a vast lake and canal system that extended over most parts of the Valley of Mexico, restricting cities such as Tenochtitlan, which was Mexico City in ancient times, and Xochimilco to small islands. These chinampas, which are the small islands, were invented by the pre-Hispanic people, so the Aztecs of the region around 1,000 years ago, as a way to increase agriculture production. So they were basically floating gardens, right? Just green, lush.
That's really pretty.
It is. It's really cool. It's really a cool thing to see. It's much different now than I'm sure it was then, but you know.
Yeah.
So the system of waterways was the main way of transportation, especially for goods in the Aztec times, until the 20th century. Starting in the early colonial period, the interconnected lakes of the valley, including Lake Xochimilco, were drained. By the 20th century, the lakes had shrunken to a system of canals that still connected Xochimilco to the center of Mexico City. So the boats that tourists and visitors mostly use are these large gondola-like boats called trajineras. So, and this is the trajinera is like, they're not motorized. It's just this nice floating vessel, right? Very Mexican looking. Anyway, so on one of these little chinampas or islands lived a man named Don Julian Santana Barrera. Excuse me. Legend has it, he is our main character, but legend has it that Don Julian found the body of a drowned little girl in the river where his small chinampa or island was situated. Shortly afterwards, he found a lone baby doll in the river.
Your story was going so beautiful.
I know. I tried to start out nice.
You tricked me.
So So, this lone baby doll comes floating up in the same spot that he saw the little girl dead. So he saw it as a sign. So he hung this doll in a tree in memory of the girl.
He hung it?
And he moved it later to like a shed because that was like the first doll.
So he found a doll after seeing a dead body, thought it was a good idea to hang it from a tree and then banished it to a shack.
He wasn't like hanging it like it was like a noose. He was just like, oh, I need to hang this doll because this doll, he saw it as a sign, right? He was haunted by the discovery of the little girl. And then when he saw this doll, it really did lead to a significant decline in his mental health. He was a heavy drinker, in a sort of anguish over all of this. He started to feel that this doll was inhabited by the little girl that he found.
Wow.
And so he moved it to that shed. So at this point, he began hanging more and more dolls in an attempt to appease the girl's spirit and to protect the island from evil spirits. So close friends of his reportedly say that Don Julian eventually started believing that the dolls themselves were possessed.
Mm.
So it just started like sort of spiraling, right? And I'm going to stop right here. Okay. Already. Because honestly, this is enough for me. For me, dolls, haunted dolls now hanging all over this poor man's island is enough to make me just, I just freaked out. I was doing all this research. I didn't like it. And I was like, oh my God, I don't like dolls. You know, we tried to buy Olivia, one of those American Girl Target knockoffs. And yeah. she was too freaked out to keep it. She refused to keep it in her room. She would cry if I asked her why she didn't want to play with it, only ever saying, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh my God.
I would tell her she could tell me anything. I asked her if something happened. She would only just look at me quietly and just look at me and with tears in her eyes say, I don't want to talk about it.
That is so crazy.
So fast forward 2 years later, she will only say that she had really bad dreams about the doll. But honestly, I don't push her on it. We boxed it up, gave it that demon doll and all of the accessories to a neighbor and done. She kept it downstairs, did not want it in her room at all. And finally, I was like, I'd put it in her room. She'd be like, I don't want this in my room. And I was like, whoa, okay, why? You know? And she would never tell me. And the whole time, part of me was wondering, is it haunted? Should I put a camera on it? Like, should I, like, watch it? But I decided against it, obviously. I didn't want that kind of shit in my house. I mean, like, I didn't want to find out. But by the way, this neighbor has had no issues with the demon doll. I'm just saying, I'm not an animal. I didn't get it. I asked. I was like, is anything? No, everything's okay with that doll? Anyway. All right, so that was needed to take a break.
I have to find a picture. There's a picture of me when I was really, really little. I had to be younger than 9 because I was still living on the farm. And it's me and my little sister, and we're sitting in this chair, and I'm holding the creepiest doll that I think they could have probably have found. It's like a it's like a porcelain white, and it's got these really creepy black eyes, and the hair is black, and it's like all crazy light, which is probably now in retrospect why I'm having so much bad luck in my life. I don't know where the doll came from. I don't know what happened to that doll. When I asked my mom where it came from, she says she doesn't know, but like it's very clearly in the picture with me and my sister, and I've never seen it since. I don't know, but it was so creepy. And every time I see that picture, I'm like, who gave me this damn doll?
Louie does
I'll,
not.
I'll post it with your story when I find it.
Well, I sent you pictures. Louie does not like the story. He's meowing. I don't know if anybody can hear him, but.
Oh my God. A black cat doesn't like the story. That's definitely a bad sign.
He's like going between my legs. Like, oh, I don't like this. Okay. Barrera, Don Julian, continued to add more dolls for several years, 50 years, until 2001, when he too drowned in the same river in the same spot where he found the little girl.
Oh my God.
Locals believe that Don Julian joined the other spirits of the island and that the island is charmed, not nightmarish. It became a tourist destination after the passing of Don Julian, and visitors now bring more dolls. But one of those visitors is our man, Zach Bagans, and his Ghost Adventures crew.
Of course he does.
Yes. So I'm going to, I'm going to tell you, I scared myself watching video after video of haunted dolls on YouTube before settling on the Island of the Dolls, because it was kind of a 2-for-1 deal. See, the Ghost Adventures crew team also brought Harold the doll with them to the Island of the Doll. One of the most haunted dolls in all the land.
Who even gave them the doll to take there, though?
The owner.
I thought you could.
The owner did. He does things like that. So, I mean, for Zach Bagans, huh?
Were you like, I just need a break? Here you go, take the doll.
Okay. So now all of you logical, sane people out there are probably all saying the collective, nope, right alongside us. But, you know, Ghost Adventures dudes, they push the envelope, right? So they get to Xochimilco and they meet with a professor, Professor Sebastian Flores Varfan. He is an expert in Xochimilco and was friends with Don Julian and actually heard all of the stories directly from him. And there was a translator that sort of went along with them, Fernando Benitez. And he, so what this professor was saying was that Don Julian would play the guitar so that, and this was his words, so that the mermaids would hear him so they wouldn't take him. Okay, do you hear it, Louis? So the mermaids would hear him, so they wouldn't take him. See, in the old days, people believed in mermaids and would say that they actually saw them. And a lot of people wouldn't like to be there as well because they felt like there was all this bad energy, like in the canals itself. I am so sorry.
I don't feel like you are.
I gotta tell the story though. So a lot of people felt like there was all this bad energy, and they say that it came from the countless numbers of dead bodies that were there as a result of the Mexican Revolution in 1911. So Zapata's army started to dump bodies in the canals, and once at one point they did a dredging of the canals, and they found countless numbers of skeletons at the bottom of the canals.
Mm-mm. No, thank you.
I'm stressing out myself. I don't know if you can see, but I'm like turning red. Like I just can't.
My skin is like all red. Like I've been drinking alcohol.
No, you're just like all. So along the canals, there's also a chinampa that hosts a little theater company that does the La Llorona play. Now, for those of you who don't know this story, here's a quick synopsis. The La Llorona story is similar to the Greek Medea myth. La Llorona means woman who cries. Though there are variations to the story, the oldest oral versions can be traced to the 1500s. When the Spanish conquistadores took the country now called Mexico, they married the Indian women and were very proud of their offspring, aware that they were starting a new breed, mestizos. In this play, a Spaniard who has lived peacefully in the jungles with his new family must return to Spain. He plans to take his wife and children with him, but his relatives in Spain will not hear of it. They consider the Indians worthless savages with no place in their society. After some debate, his family consents to his bringing only the children, since they at least are half Spanish. The soldier tells his Indian wife of his plans and that because his family does not recognize their marriage, they have chosen a bride for him in Spain. Devastated, the crazed woman that her children are to be taken away, La Llorona kills them so her husband cannot have them. Realizing what she has done, she runs through the streets screaming and crying, and the Spaniard returns home disconsolate. Woo! Man, you guys are getting some good Mexican history tonight. That's all I'm saying. You guys are, that's why I ate enchiladas and some refried beans.
I've got my support dog now. My emotional support doggy.
All right, so back on the canals to our man Zach and the theater company. So he actually spoke with the woman, Nayeli Cortez, who portrays La Llorona, and explains that this is really about a woman who is trapped between living in the world, between the living world and the spirit world because of what she has done. And she said that during the show, they kind of create a pyramid and all the women start to go down this pyramid. And well, guess who makes an appearance? A little girl.
No.
I know how much you love creepy kids, Ashley. Hell, Sarah would have burned this. Sarah would have burned this whole place down already. I know. I'm like breathing heavy. I'm sorry. She also said that Don Julian was having a lot of visits from this little girl. And when he would have dinner, he would put the doll with him to keep the spirit of the girl at peace because she can't find her way out. Then they met this local laborer who wanted to talk with the GA team. Jason, of course, was like, he was watching this with me. He was laughing at this part. He said it reminded him of the time that those guys in Mobile, Alabama, thought that there was a leprechaun in a tree. Do you remember this? It was like, yes. Do you remember this? It's really funny. They're like, yeah. Oh, there's a leprechaun in a tree. And everyone was trying to be interviewed by the news. And they're like, oh, I saw the leprechaun. And it was just like, it's just a really funny moment. So we spent a few minutes going down that funny news clip rabbit hole because we both just had to start laughing. Anyway, so this guy said he was going down one of the canals and he started to hear this drumming, like loud drumming.
Drumming?
Not like a drum set, but like tribal sounding drums.
That's even worse.
It's not like like Def Leppard. It's like boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, I need like boom, another boom, support boom. Animal.
So he was freaked out. He was freaked the F out. And when he got to his destination, he said he could not communicate nor understand anyone. After 5 days of this, he was taken to a shaman for an exorcism.
God, but did you just say 5 days?
5 days. At some point, he sees that the shaman is scared and he feels this energy leave him. And he sees that the shaman eats the energy, at which point he was all good. He was all good. But the shaman, wherever this poor dude is, was suffering from the same symptoms that homeboy was. That did not have a very good ending of a story. Like, what happened to the shaman? So did the shaman have a shaman? Like, who exercised?
He just eats that energy, though. Like, I don't know.
He was scared. He didn't want to do it.
These people are just too much. This is too much.
Are you saying Mexicans are too much? We're a bit much.
No, I'm seeing these people eating negative energy and they collecting dolls and listening to tribal drums as they walk around in their head.
He was on the canal. He was like on a boat. Okay. So, all right. Okay. So Zach, our man Zach, has a super duper big fear of dolls. Obviously, he's got the museum. He knows too much. So they arrive on the island in the daytime. Okay. Hold on, I can't see you now. Where are you? Okay, in the daytime. And they are shook up. They are shook from just the sight of it. You pull up on your little boat and dolls are just everywhere. They're hanging from trees. They're attached to the trees. There's like makeshift fences and they're attached to that. Just everywhere, right? That's creepy in the daytime. So Don Julian's nephew, Anastasio Velasquez, is there to greet them. And this guy actually was the person who found Don Julian in the water after he died. And the last thing he saw was this huge fish-like creature leave Don Julian's body, like from under his body, swim off into the water, kind of like Big Fish, if you ever saw that movie.
And
so like this huge fish, like swims off into the water. And this is the exact same place that the little girl died, in the same place that that lonely doll floated up.
Oh my God.
But as if things couldn't be any more nope for me, Zach brings Harold the freaking haunted doll to Mexico City to join them on the Island of the Dolls. Okay, so I'm going to talk about Harold more next time, like I said, but just know you don't need to add any more crazy energy to this place. And he just did it. Like, come on. Come on, guys.
I would never be in the same room as Harold the doll. I don't even like talking about him, like, let alone traveling with him and then going to an island of other creepy dolls.
Yeah, I'm gonna scare you guys.
That just sounds like the worst thing in the world.
Oh, that's a good beer. That's Steve Austin. So they went to see the psychic in Mexico City, and she said she had actually been visited. I want to see this lady. I want to go visit her. She said she was visited by Don Julian in advance of Zach being there. So she was telling the translator things to validate what the nephew, what everybody was saying. So ahead of the visit, she told him about all of Don Julian's visits to her. Here's what he's telling me. She said he told her about his favorite doll, why she has that name, why she is there. And so when they met the nephew, the first thing he does is go, takes him on a tour, points right to this doll and says, "This is Agustinita." And like, the translator's like, "Oh my God, how does she know that?" Because she doesn't know the family. He also said that Don Julian told her that he wanted everyone to cheers him. Like, cheers with the beer. Cheers, Don Julian. While I'm here talking about you. When they're on the island, he wanted them to cheers him with pulque. And pulque is this ancient Mexican drink, and it's what he used to drink. It was like from the Aztecs, right? I had it the last time I was in Mexico City when I turned 40, and it's some strong stuff, man. It's like tequila, but thicker. I don't know. It was not my kind of thing.
That sounds really gross. Tequila, but thicker?
I don't know. It's maybe I'm describing it wrong. I don't know. It wasn't my thing. It's very strong. Anyway, so the psychic, or maybe that was mezcal. I don't know. The psychic also.
Okay, I've had that.
Huh? You've had mezcal?
I've had that.
I don't know. Pulque was a little bit different. So the psychic also mentioned the mermaids and the huge fish-like creature in the lake.
Oh my gosh.
Right? She actually called it a snake. And she said that it lives at the bottom of the lake and that it takes the body of a mermaid. It wraps people's legs up and drags them down to drown them. But she believes that this big fish took the spirit of Julian. Don Julian is also saying that it is not only the girl who has died there, but tons of other people in the same sort of drowning way. And in true Zach fashion, he starts to feel this crazy pain in his left arm after the interview. And he looks down and he sees what looks like little fingerprint bruises.
No.
And the psychic, Sabrina, had just told them that they should be aware of their hands and arms. And it looked like little, right here on his left little arm. Little bruises.
Nope.
Anyway. Okay. So they get to the island at night, and the guys did not want to get off the boat. They just stayed there. They were like, mm-mm.
Did you say guys?
So Zach and,
No one cared about the guys.
The guy with the goatee, you know the guy. They went without night vision cameras. So it was just like, they just had regular vision. They had regular cameras. They were waiting for the other guys who were coming on the other boat, whatever. So they went on, they were just like, let's just see. They had all their flashlights on. And you know, like normally they would turn off all their lights at this point and just see. They did not. They were all stuck together. It was three of them. They were just huddled together with all their lights on. Right away, they hear these cans fall over and they're just slowly exploring the island, but they keep all of their lights on. So they investigate the cans. Nothing. They heard where it came from. They see it. Nothing. They keep walking. And a few seconds later, where the cans had fallen over, where they went to investigate, there's a freaking fire. There's a fire, like a campfire, just fully lit, just going. Like there's a fire pit, there was wood, but there's nobody there. Anyway, back to Harold. Yeah. I'm just going to skip back to Harold. He didn't even want to go back there. The psychic told them this. She said,
Harold didn't want to go back there? Okay, that would be out. I'd be done. I'd be on the next plane out. If this creepy ass haunted dog was like, no, I don't want to go in with these other creepy dolls. Why are you still there? I don't understand. I don't get your story.
Sabrina, the psychic, says this is a good island and you're bringing a bad doll. So Harold did not want to go there, but they took him at night. And as they are about to open the suitcase with Harold in it, while they're in the flippin' shed shrine room, a cat jumps, screeching, and a freaking doll starts laughing at them. A doll with no batteries in a bunny costume on a wall.
Did they get this on camera?
Just laughing. So I'm going to share this.
I don't want to see it. Oh my God. God, I've got so many hives. I'm like, I'm feeling nauseous already. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to walk into the other room. There's going to be a doll sitting there. Like, yeah, I can see it. Unfortunately.
Dude, I don't like it here. I don't like it at all.
Do you like us in here?
Mm-mm. I don't like it.
Can you move? I just, oh my God, man.
What?
The feeling inside of here is indescribable. It is in this shed where the most powerful possessed dolls on the island are located, and it feels as if they know we are intruding. We can feel their eyes, but it's not the plastic dolls that are staring at us. It's something more.
Oh my God, that's creepy. Look at that thing.
And right as we are about to take Harold the haunted doll out of the bag...
Hold on, let me get a shot. Let me get this if we're gonna do this right.
Hurry up, I don't want that 7-foot spider coming out of
here. Well, dude, hold on, man. It's important. Here, I'll come from the side. That way I don't blind the camera.
All right, ready? Ready?
No, I'm not ready for this.
Oh!
Whoa! Bro!
Come
here!
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Shh. One of them's laughing.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, bro.
Holy f***.
Okay, I'm sorry. Not only is it laughing, but it's baby laughter? Fuck you. No. No. No.
No. Y'all, Ashley is rocking back and forth in her chair. Okay.
And I've got my little stuffed Raising Cane's puppy because this is... No. Did you guys hear that baby laughter? No, thank you. I don't like normal baby laughter. I'm a mean person and that just... I don't like...
Burn it down.
Dolls doing it.
So the guys go back to base camp. Don Julian's friend is there. He's like, yeah, he's, have you ever heard this doll make a sound or anything? And he's like, nope. He's never heard that sound before. So Pedro goes on to the island with the guys to try to contact Don Julian. And as Pedro talks to him, there's this black anomaly going straight towards Pedro. And they ask Pedro to go with them because they asked him to try to contact him. So they're talking, but they're not really getting, you know, anything. And so he's, you know, in Spanish, and he's like, hey, ojo, which is I, but like, hey, ojo, like, come and talk to us and, you know, use the means that they have to try to communicate with us. Like, this is what they're offering as a way to communicate. And they use one of those, the white noise. Is it an ovulus? I forget what it's called, but it's that sort of voice box. So it's like, yeah, I can't remember what it's called. And so he has the pulque with him, and he's like, hey, you know, hey, ojo, you know, mira, like, we're trying to talk to you, blah, 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 blah. And when he started talking, he hears that you could hear like a voice, and he looks at Zach and gives him a thumbs up, like, that's him. And he said he heard him like 3 or 4 times. And at some point, like, you see like this black anomaly kind of shoot out from the shed and towards them. And at that point, like, you could see that Pedro, like, there's a certain, like, something changes in him. He's like, hey, you know, here's to you. And he's like cheersing him, and he's drinking straight, like, from the bottle, like, hey, like, you know, he's like, see, he said he felt like the intention of Don Julian there, and it was his friend, and he felt his friend, and it was happy, and it was good, and he was so thankful, and he got to say, like, he had a chance to say goodbye. And so, like, it stopped being scary, and they were just like, whatever, you know, like, it was like, oh man, that's awesome. Like, they were so happy for him, because he was like, man, that was my friend. You know, anyway, there's a few more hijinks. A ghost hand runs down Zach's back, leaves an EVP in English saying, I don't like her, stupid. And Harold, well, they took him out, and they left him in the shed, and they did a temperature reading on him, you know, that infrared thing. And directly underneath him was a spike in temperature, which is impossible to debunk because he's not a real baby and does not emanate heat. So there's that. So if you want to visit, here's what you need to know. The Island of the Dolls is 1.5 hours from the Embarcadero. The only access is via the Trajinera. Most rowers are willing to transport people to the island, but there are those who refuse to do that because of superstitions. The journey takes approximately 1 hour and includes a tour of the ecological area, the Ajolote Museum, the Patlo Canal, and the Texuilo Lagoon in the Llorona Island. So kind of cool. You get a lot of stuff in there. In addition to the hundreds of dolls, the island also contains a small museum with some articles from local newspapers about the island and the previous owner, Don Julian. There's a store. There's 3 rooms, one of which seems to have been used as a bedroom. In this room is the first doll that Julian collected, as well as Augustinita, his favorite doll. Some of the visitors place offerings around this doll in exchange for miracles and blessings. Some others change their clothes and maintain it as a form of worship. So if you go, maybe don't go empty-handed, I guess. Anyway, that's my story. It was a long one. So I hope that
I think my laptop knew what was coming and was just trying to, like, protect me. And then you guys were like, oh, just use your phone. It'll be fine.
Then no, wasn't fine.
It wasn't fine. I'm not fine.
Yeah, I scared the crap out of myself doing this stuff. I am glad that Jason was there with me during a lot of this, because I don't know that I would have made it, because he just laughed. He was like, this is so stupid, you know?
Because he didn't believe in any of this, which good for him. I wish I didn't, but I unfortunately do.
And then props.
I've had a creepy doll, so I definitely don't like dolls.
Props to the Saturday Night Live for their amazing murder shows skit on Saturday, because hail to Saturday Night Live for that, because that show is true.
I'm going to have to look at it. Oh,
I posted it on our page.
Girl, I've had so much.
It's okay. It's on there. You don't even have to search for it. Just go to our page. It's there. But now.
Oh, I see it. The cannibals. The murder show.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
You should see it.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Do you have
that
your computer up? Because we can do our answers. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, so I'm going to read from the page first, and then I'll go to yours. So again, if you just skip the first 45 minutes of the show, the question of the week is, would you rather know the date of your death or know the cause of your death? So Robert said probably the cause, then I can increase that habit and not worry about when.
Oh, what a great response to that. Yeah.
And then Ashley said the date, so I can plan to blow through every credit card, retirement savings, etc., on traveling up to the day of my death.
Okay, Louie. Okay. I'm sorry.
I mean, you've just upset everyone with your story. Dev said the date for sure. I don't need to know how, in case it's something benign like a car crash. Yeah. I'd be scared of cars the rest of my life, but it would be nice to know how much time I have left.
Devin, you're right. That's so right. I don't want to be scared of something. What if it's like playing the piano? Oh my God. Like, I don't know. Don't go near a piano.
Sarah, definitely the day. I could live accordingly, whether it be save my money or spend my money. Glenn said, I'd rather know the cause, especially if it was an accident, than I'd try to avoid the situation for as long as possible. Unlike my good friend who died when he fell into a coffee silo, I was totally different. Suffer, it was instant. Okay, y'all, Glenn always posts the funniest things on our page. What? Like, if you go and look at things he's posted, like, he posted that serial killer emoji thing where you try to guess the serial, like, it's just hilarious.
We get a lot of questions.
I only figured out the first one. And then when he sent the answers, I was like, these don't make any sense. But he does send a lot of good stuff. It's
Glenn,
good times.
We miss you. We're sorry you were in Facebook jail. I don't even want to know why you were in Facebook jail, but glad to have you back, my brother.
Ooh, and Catherine said, I would want to know the cause, and then maybe I could avoid it. I would be super pissed if I found out the date and it was like today at 11:30 p.m. P.S. If for some god-awful reason I do die at 11:30 p.m. tonight, please make sure this post is noted and Megan Owen only plays music from my approved playlist. She posted that 2 hours ago, so hopefully you're still alive when we're done. And then from your page, Autumn says cause, because maybe then you could avoid it. Hillary said no. That was just her whole just answer. No. And I had to give a big shout out to Hillary, because when all of this happened to my life, like, she sent me a DoorDash gift card and like just checked up on me. So it was really nice to know, like, you know, you still have people when you're going through stuff.
I could buy you. I should have just sent you shit.
I didn't ask. Yeah, just send me things, Kat.
I'm sorry. I know now.
I didn't want anything from people. I'm not asking for anything from
people. I'm not people.
My whole statement
from
was
another
just that I appreciate knowing that I have people if I need something. Lolita, is that how you say her name? I always feel like I'm saying it wrong. I love that name. I just always feel
her
like I'm saying it wrong.
Daughter, Sydney. Sydney is a big fan. So shout out to Lo.
She says, good question. Not sure, but leaning towards date of death. This way I may learn to live and truly enjoy things.
See, I think that's such a great
answer. Michelle said, nope. The next Michelle said, neither. Hannah, is that how you say her name?
Tana? T-A-N-I-A?
Tanya?
Then I'm going for date. I can then schedule my level of ratchetness.
She's good because she's ratchet.
Oh my God. Best answer ever. I'm sorry, guys, that I butcher names. I can't pronounce regular words, let alone everyone else's. I think we all know this by now. This one says, I think date, because if I knew the cause, I would just be avoiding anything that would correlate. If I knew date, I could live life to the fullest before then.
Oh shit. What if he found out like it's tomorrow?
Ugh. Chuck said date of death to live life at the fullest until then, but getting a cold the week before would kind of like waking up with my alarm or something like that. And then Jane said I would want to know the date.
That's awesome. Thank you, everybody. God, that was awesome.
You guys always make our week. Like, we love it.
It's also interesting to hear about like those weird questions, you know, to ask on a first date kind of thing. I'm like, oh, it's really good to know about somebody.
You guys, if you ask our question of the week on your first date and it doesn't go well, please do not make it go.
Or
please do not.
Or like, you're welcome.
Or you may be dating a serial killer. I just say. Just saying.
Oh, man.
If she can guess all of the right answers to that emoji serial killer thing, you should probably be worried.
Or marry her.
You need to watch
the SNL skit, because I'm shocked that you didn't know the answers. I do most of them.
To the emoji thing?
Like,
I guess I'm too not cool. I don't know. I don't use emojis that often.
But I was like, God, it took me a while. I'm not saying I got the... it took me a long time. Because I was like, Ted, but... Oh, okay. Okay. I guess good. How? Yeah, he's mad.
Yeah, see what you did? Now you've possessed the cat.
He just bit my hand. He was like, hot. Well, I hope that I didn't scare you guys too much with it. I tried to laugh throughout it so that I didn't scare myself. I don't want to go to sleep now.
Guys, this is the reason you should send us story suggestions.
This is exactly why you should send us stories.
Or, you know, anything really. We just like your messages. We always respond. We will give shout outs. You know, feel free to post on our page, whatever. We love it. We love to read what you guys have to say. Next week, my story will be about unicorns and fairies and positive, happy things. I'm sure it's going to be like some insane murder where like 25,000 people die or like, I don't know, some crazy dog. It will not be about dolls, okay, people? It will not involve a single doll. I can tell you that right now.
Well, I love that you guys, if you're still listening, we know that you love us and we love you even more than the other people that listen to us.
And one day we swear we will have it together.
That's okay.
Not today, obviously.
How many episodes are we in now? It's all right. People don't expect too much.
I don't know. We're in season 3, like episode 90 something.
Don't expect too much. We love you guys. Until next week, like Ashley said, please send in your ideas, your question of the week ideas. Just send us a message. And if we freaked you out, I'm sorry. You can send me a message to yell at me. Anything else?
I think I'm good. I'm just terrified by your story, so I just kind of want to not leave the office.
All right, everybody. Well, okay. Sweet dreams. I'm kidding.
I mean, how are you? You already said it. So great. Thanks.
All right, guys. Until next week, please be kind to one another and please do have sweet dreams. We love you. All right. Bye.
Bye.